back room yet, or back row? Is it better? Can you hear me through the mic, through the speaker?
Not really.
A little bit more?
Test.
Does that sound better now? Can you hear it back there yet?
Can you hear me now? Yeah.
That'd be 1, 2, 3, 4. Marketing, you're going to get one of the girls come in here and fix that for you. Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Whoa, noisy. Is this a copy?
Anyway, it goes away. Just stand right there. All right. I think we're safe. We're going to try.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Mr. Chair, Commissioner Medora, we are gathered here to talk about fireworks, which today will be a very, very simple presentation, but it's, as you know, a complex topic and subject, which we'll probably get into some extended discussion about what to do. Do you want to do some introductions, or do you want to just run with it?
We can do that. I'm Tom Mielke, County Commissioner.
Okay. Technical difficulties. David Medora, County Commissioner. By the way, let me introduce the fellow who's shadowing this commissioner today. This is Andrew. Andrew's from a recent graduate from electrical engineering from George Fox University.
Thank you.
And I'm Axel Swanson, staff of the board. Marty Snow, Community Development Director.
John Dunaway, Fire Marshal.
Christian Martin, Fire Marshal's Office.
Whoa. How do you do that?
Hi, Drew from Vancouver National Trust.
Yep. So we'll just we'll pass around the microphones here, so we can continue.
Jerry Farley.
Brent Battlechuck, Western Fireworks.
Okay.
All right. And Mr. McCauley.
County administrator.
Okay.
Maybe we can pass this to whoever the speaker is. Okay, so once again, for the record, we're here today for a fireworks work session, 5/28/2014. The first slide of four, you'll see, like I said, the presentation today is simple, is the language from the advisory vote number 6. We had 5 last fall, and the question really was, whether or not in unincorporated Clark County we should amend our ordinance to shorten both the dates where sales of fireworks could be done and where those dates when fireworks could be used.
So, Axel, this does not include decisions of battleground or...
No, this vote doesn't, although I was going to ask Leanne because she had a little bit different number, and I've got the GIS data, so maybe we can get into the discussion of how much it passed by or how much it didn't pass by. But this is the number that I'm working with, and you'll see in the parentheses underneath there, unincorporated precincts only.
So part of my problem was that we're looking at Hazeldale and maybe Orchards and not the other.
Yeah. The last slide on here, we'll get into that, and you can, if you want, we can go precinct by precinct. So, but the bottom line is, We asked the voters to vote on an advisory vote to change the code, and seemingly we'll get into the percentage, but they voted yes to change it.
I got a question. This policy, this ordinance, only applies to all of the unincorporated areas. It will not affect any of the incorporated cities.
Correct.
Within our county or...
That's correct. So City of Vancouver or any of our other cities, they can, under state law, make their own ordinance or adopt their own times for sale and use of fireworks. And actually, I think Leanne did a good job of summarizing that in one of those documents
so
you have
all
there in
of
front
them
of you.
Have their own, every single jurisdiction?
Yeah. Okay. So this second slide here, it's just straight out of the ordinance that we presented as amended. At the end of this presentation, we'll be asking the board sooner than later to schedule a hearing, because I don't know if you're aware of it or not, or folks in the room are, but state law doesn't require you to make an immediate change to your ordinance. You have to allow a year to go by before it can take effect. That makes sense for obvious reasons, planning, ordering stock, and all those kind of things for the businesses. So we need to get our notice for our hearing out sooner than later and have it in June if we want to catch the 2016 window. Well, next year, 2015, I'm sorry. So anyhow, this is what it looks like right now as drafted, amended, and this would... All this does is amends our code to match what we believe the language of the advisory vote intended. So you can see 2014 here, no change, because we cannot change that under state law. It would go forward as business as usual. 2015, for the sale of fireworks, would limit it to July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So basically, you're down from... What are we at? 8 days?
Seven days
to 3 days. So that's just on the sale side. And then the next table is from the draft, again, trying to reflect the language from the advisory vote, is when fireworks can be used. Now, what we've done here is give the board some options on the use side. I think what Gordy and the planning department did is do kind of a stair-step walk down. We talked about this because what the ordinance actually said that people voted on was only one day of use. So, you know, according to what the vote said, we prefer just July 4th. Now, that's quite a big step from all those days to one, and so we could go 2015, allow for three, and then stair-step it down to 16 if that's the board's wish. We can do any version of this the board wants. We're just giving you some examples of how we could walk it down to one day, unless you just want to go one day in 2015, and we could actually achieve that as well. So those are really, that's really the crux of it, is the advisory vote occurred last fall. It would change the two tables that you just looked at in our code for the amount of days for sale and the amount of days for use. And then let me go up here and get out of this. We can look at... This is a little small maybe for some people in back, but this is a map that GIS did, and you can see it has all the advisory votes on it, but vote number 6, the fireworks, if we're just on unincorporated, what I've got here showing is 57.7 for, 42.3 against, and I don't know...
I think I'll be able to zoom in.
Yep, we can zoom in on those precincts, and we can actually click on them individually. I don't know if it did let me grab it. Okay. So, I mean, you can kind of see all these areas closer to the urban growth boundary, Hazeldale, Orchards, like Commissioner Mielke said, seem to favor it. As you'd expect, as you get farther out, more rural, those folks didn't. So,
it'd be nice to compare what's being proposed and what the other incorporated areas have.
I think Leanne did that work for us, which was nice. Now, we can check here, but my understanding would be this vote would match up with what the City of Vancouver has. I'm not sure where it would be at with the other smaller cities. So,
Commissioner, on the letter from Miller Nash, there's an Exhibit A that has the breakdown of all the cities how they regulate the discharge times.
I'd like to be able to talk about breaking this down into two separate parts. There's the sale time and the use time. It was my observation that when this was first put out by Commissioner Stewart, it was just kind of just put out there. And there really wasn't much thought put into or research put into threw it out there. And it went out there and passed. I think it was a surprise to all three of us that it actually passed, especially by a margin, the margin that it did. If we separate that down, keep in mind those two separate dates. There are two different arguments that go into those. One is the sale time. There are so many nonprofit organizations that use that to raise funds for the organization. It's a big deal for them to cut that back from, 7 days now to 3 days. Then that 3 days includes a weekend sometimes. That's pretty extreme, and it's a hard hit for them. The second part of that, which is when you set it off, goes from what, actually it's also 7 days, right?
It's the same.
Okay, to 1 day. And I understand that the people don't care if you buy or sell fireworks, as long as you don't set them off, right? But the likelihood if you buy them early is that you're going to set them off earlier. I get that understanding. But the problem is that the people that don't like fireworks, their pets, their dogs, and it drives those pets crazy. I expect that if we're going to restrict one more than the other, it would be the actually setting off of the fireworks and leave the window wider for the sale so that you don't impact the economy of those nonprofits. So we've got a dilemma on our hands. One is, do we do what the people said on the ballot measure, just simply the way it states, or do we consider that as a starting point and maximize the feedback from our community and say, we want to hear from you to actually nail down the parameters on this, so that we make an informed decision that's representative of the community, and we allow them the freedom to be able to dial in both of those numbers independently. I'm inclined to make sure we open it up to make sure that the community can inform us of those specific parameters, rather than just say one size fits all. This is what was on the ballot, so this is what you get. It is advisory, and it is something that really the challenge before us is to ensure that somehow we can hear, that we don't just have a few of the loudest voices dominate and say that, well, whoever's going to pack the hearing room is going to be the ones that's going to prevail. Somehow there's a challenge in front of us to be able to hear better from the community specifically on those parameters. That's where I'm coming from.
So I'm kind of troubled with, I'm looking at the Exhibit A from Miller Nash. It shows the majority of the other incorporated areas allow discharge beginning June 28th. And it's strange that in a rural area that we would want to restrict it more than what the cities, the incorporated areas, allow. So I would want to be more in line with the incorporated areas than the and I'm amazed that we just have discharge types there, but we don't have the sale type. Is there another chart?
Yeah, right below it.
Oh, below it.
Yeah.
Right.
It looks like Battleground 13 days, the center 8, Camas 10, 6 for Washougal, 7 for Yakko, Richfield has 8, Vancouver has 3.
So my take on it is that we wouldn't want to do any more than what the cities would require, because we don't have the impact that the cities have. So they quite match up. Why you'd be more restricting in the rural areas than you would in the more dense areas.
Like I said, if we want to make a change according to what the folks voted on last fall, we've got to do it in the next month. So we're here to kind of show you what the vote was, what the options are, and then ask you if we can schedule a hearing. But it's completely the board's call. This is a local ordinance. It's local policy. You set it. You know, like I said, the advisory vote was fairly affirmative. The folks wanted a change. How we get there and what it is up to the board. But we do need to schedule a hearing sooner than later if we want to make a change that will be implemented in 2015.
Do we know if there's any changes going to be made in any of the incorporated areas?
Other than what Vancouver's beginning this year, I haven't heard of any movement by the cities to change.
So that would be one of the things I would want to know before we became more restrictive.
Yes. Well, and before we have a hearing, that's certainly information that we as a staff can gather. It wouldn't be hard to contact the cities and see if they have anything that they're planning in terms of a change.
So it looks like you can divide the county into north and everything else. And the north part here, which is also the much of the red there, indicates that they already have the freedom in the incorporated areas to sell fireworks much longer time than the southern portion.
Isn't that where the majority of the fireworks are sold?
Where?
In the incorporated areas?
I don't know.
I know we have a few in the Alpine areas. So I would think that, so if we put a county ban, for example, on, it wouldn't affect the incorporated areas. They would still start selling on the 28th of June. Or
the incorporated areas, you're right, would continue whatever scale they've adopted locally. In the county, we have 41 retail stands in the unincorporated areas. In Vancouver, I believe it's 20, or in that ballpark.
41 in the unincorporated? So I'm trying to.
And it's based on population. We grow a fireworks stand for every 5,000 population in the county, and so that's what it's based on. Most of the complaints that we get when you talk about the rural versus the urban are in those fairly urbanized portions of Clark County, Hazeldale, Orchards, where people are very densely packed together in neighborhoods.
And we still restrict the number of firework stands, is that correct?
We restrict it based on the population, yes.
Yeah. Is it practical, it's probably impractical, to have two different zones in our area, in these areas, these are the times, in these areas, these are the times? Or is it one size fits all for the whole unincorporated area?
The more you divide, the more varied the laws get. People right now don't know if they're in Clark County proper or in the city of Vancouver or the city of X. It's really difficult for people, in our experience, to be able to tell based on what side of the street they're on most of the time. So to further...
That's a disadvantage, which I get. That's a disadvantage. And so you wouldn't want to do it on a very fine line, but basically to maximize people's rights and still maximize the will of the people as voted, which is reflected by the map here. The question is it doable at all just simply to say this two different territories?
So are you suggesting outside the urban growth boundary have one standard inside the urban growth boundary?
That's one possibility.
I wouldn't suggest urban growth boundary because it doesn't make any sense to anybody.
True.
Just my way of thinking, it'd be like draw a line at 179th Street or 219th Street.
Make it clear.
And, east of 112th.
You could make it as close to the urban growth boundary as you could. Because it does make sense on the voting. If you watch this, so this is every precinct right here. If you look at the unincorporated vote only, if it'll pop up for me, you'll see
most of the votes that came in, you know, they're in this urban growth boundary belt. I mean, in support of it. And if you're going by precincts. I mean, there is, this is a real, I mean, this is a difficult issue for you. It's a urban-rural thing going on here. You can see from the urban growth boundary belt, you know, where, which precincts supported it and which ones didn't. But, you know, then enforcement and all those things, and you have, you know, people are going to go buy them somewhere, and you know, people move around the county all the time, so enforcement becomes a
problem. We've already told that Calvert County gets more popular all the time, so I get in terms of my sales tax going to Calvert County, and the other half of my sales tax going to Oregon.
Well,
to the point of reality here.
The other real thing to consider, I'm kind of standing in for our old friend Kelly Sills, who was our fireworks expert before he left a few months back, and I worked here for a little over 3 years, and pretty much from June 15th to July 15th, Kelly's full-time job was fireworks. I mean, it is an issue. People do have genuine concerns. They do call in, you know, people with newborn babies, people with their dogs and cats running away. And it becomes a real issue for a lot of folks in the community. So we will get those calls, and that will continue. And we'll undoubtedly hear from those folks if we have a hearing.
So, not knowing what the incorporated areas are going to do, and I don't want to be more restrictive than the incorporated areas. And we're looking at Vancouver as one of those more restrictive.
Yeah, Axel, could you go back to all precincts?
I think a key element is to do some comparison with the appropriate areas as we move forward with it and bring. I think I understand we are on a time constraint, and that maybe we could actually bring this back at board time this week, tomorrow, or no, that's today, short week. Next week. And board time would be the soonest we can get it. Sooner the better.
Yeah, Commissioner Milkey, I think your point is very well made, because if you look at the incorporated areas, they all strongly supported the restriction. And if none of the incorporated areas are changing,
well, no, it'd be the opposite, other than Vancouver. Vancouver is very restrictive.
I'd have to do an analysis, but I mean, if you're just looking at it, it does look like most of those incorporated precincts did vote for the restriction. So those councils, arguably, they'll have a decision to make as well. Now, I can't just eyeball it. I'd have to go look. But, you know, if in fact those precincts in those unincorporated areas voted for the restriction, then maybe those councils have a decision to make as well.
That's where I'm going with that. Yeah. I would need to make a decision before their council did.
Yeah, I believe that a couple of these county cities, Camas, Washougal in particular, they've made recent changes to be more restrictive in the past probably 5 years. So we can find out if there have been recent changes to at least the discharge times. Because I know in Camas it was going from like the 28th to 29th, and a couple of years ago they scaled it down to start on July 1st. They had problems
It would make more sense because, like you said, urban growth boundary, 179th, whatever you did, unless you're the same as everybody else, it gets more confusing when you start chopping it up too much. So I think that would have to come back to us as soon as possible.
Well, I believe we're up against the time. I think if we want to have a hearing on our ordinance, we have to notice it by next Monday. And so I need a decision from the board if you want to kind of go and over on here.
Maybe we should have had this meeting last week.
Yeah, maybe we should.
That's right. I was here.
Yeah. So,
I think we should pursue in fashion. I'm sorry that we're behind schedule, but I don't want to make a decision with half information.
Okay, so what information does the board want before the hearing? You want what the other cities are doing? Anything else?
Right. I'd like to see what they have for sale, discharge, on all the incorporated areas. We pretty much know where Vancouver is, obvious.
Yeah, we know from Leanne's work, we know what the other cities are doing currently, but I can find out definitely before the next time we get together if they're planning anything else. And they may or may not be, you know, aware of this vote or how those precincts in their incorporated area voted. So maybe that's information they want.
And I get real concerned. We have to be respectful of what it takes to set up and take down.
Mm-hmm.
If it takes longer to set up and take down than it does, and we allow for the sale,
mm-hmm.
That's not being business friendly,
mm-hmm.
or smart. After a while, the people who are responsible for that, if the cost of setting up and taking down is greater than what the sales are because of the shortage of time, we lose all the way around. So.
Has the sheriff's office weighed in on this? I can imagine they're the enforcers, right? Our code enforcement doesn't do this, right?
We call the fire marshal's office to enforce, but we do get significant assistance from the sheriff's office.
Okay, so fire department is mostly involved in responding.
Yes.
So, Mr. Fire Marshal.
Well, our experience is that the busiest times for complaints is leading up to the 4th because they're being used more by folks during the current legal times, and of course you have those outliers who use an outside curfew. July 5th actually turns out to be our busiest day of complaints that come in. Well, they've been illegal on July 5th for a while now. So, and again, primarily the complaints we receive are in the urban areas that border the city limits of Vancouver background.
So when you receive complaints, I keep dividing this in my own mind here, the importance of it, of being business friendly, nonprofit friendly, fireworks industry friendly for the sale. And one option is to leave the sale times alone. And the other is and to just simply restrict the time that you set them off. Is that problematic?
Only in terms of, I don't know what Vancouver's experience has been because they have that model currently. Having those in your pocket and not being able to use them, how well do people do with that? I don't have any data on that. That would be my concern, is if you're selling an element. Even though we have posted at each site currently by county code, you can only use them these dates and times, obviously not everybody that buys by that.
Okay. That is a good point. All these, can we basically say that I assume there's permits involved.
For retail sales of, yes.
Okay. So, and that permit can specify that there shall be a sign, you know, this big whatever that says the county says, the code says you can only set it off at this during this window, right? Okay, so if we end up with that, maximizing the business, minimizing the time off, include a obvious signage so that people who buy it understand when they're not supposed to set it off. That's workable for the fire department?
Certainly workable. The nest signage is already required by county code and has for the past several years. We still have issues, as you can expect. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's going to abide by that. What? It has gotten better over the years, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
What some of the things we do.
So if somebody calls, somebody's setting them off, nobody calls because they're buying them, right? Mm-hmm. Right?
Only if we sell them at a truck somewhere, do we get.
Yeah. So when you arrive, what do? Do you issue them a ticket or you give them a warning or say?
Well, it varies. The code gives us the authority to charge them with a misdemeanor crime or to write them a civil citation or to say they'll never do that again. We try to educate before we write the tickets. Tickets are rare for us in the county. We tend to confiscate fireworks and take away their ability at that point if we catch them doing something illegal. It just depends on a lot of things at the time we go out there. On the ticketing side, we actually have to see someone lighting a fuse to be able to write a ticket, and that can
really
be, okay. That can be tricky.
Yeah.
We can't just write a ticket to a property owner because we know it came from.
So you could have a bunch of spent fireworks and everything all sitting there, a bunch of them sitting there, and you didn't see them, so.
Okay. I would think also, you wouldn't, I mean, really bad PR. I would think that'd be bad PR. Fire departments, you know, local heroes come in and take away your fireworks and get, write you a big ticket. I would think that would be very bad PR for the fire department.
It's the fire department. It's the county fire marshal's office. So the fire department doesn't get that black eye. The county fire marshal's office in the county get that black eye.
Well, we get the black eye.
And we're used to that, actually. While it's not comfortable, it's sometimes something we have to do. It's not fun.
Your own opinion. If we were to say, leave the sale time the same, restrict the setting off time to shorter, how would that play with the fire department?
Wouldn't that intensify the use during the one day where you could set them off? If you have 8 days worth of sales all going off on one day, that's a pretty intense firework day.
Yeah, I think you're going to have that.
The war zone.
It could intensify that, absolutely. And do I think everybody who buys them in that open period would only use them on that one day? No.
I think you'd be pretty naive to think that that would happen.
Yes.
You don't buy them a year in advance.
Having my own family, you know, my history isn't very good at that either, to be honest. And I don't think anybody else is either. But I think, you know, we've already cut them. We used to sell fireworks for New Year. And we've cut that off too. So the thing that I have concern with when we do allow the sale of fireworks and people buy for New Year's at the 4th of July, how safe is that? How many fires do we have caused from people saving fireworks?
I think the use on New Year's is probably less than that on the 4th of July, so you can see a reduction there. And typically it's raining, it's raining quite well by the time New Year's comes along, and most evenings down.
This ordinance doesn't cover New Year's, right?
No. New Year's is already excluded from county.
Okay, so the only permitted time for setting off or sale is 4th of July.
Correct.
Some of the cities allow New Year's.
Yes.
So I think our direction at this time is to have you bring back more information. As soon as we can get it this time, it's going to be board time next Wednesday.
I will definitely bring you that information about the other cities at board time next week. In between now and then, do you want the clerk to notice a hearing for late June? Because we have to get that notice out the next week for a hearing to change this for the following year. Otherwise, we're out to 2016.
So if the final decision is made by the board before the 4th of July, then we're good a year from now.
I think technically we actually need to make a change before the, you know, in this case, the first date of sales would be allowed. So call it June 28th. So that's why we kind of need
that's
to get...
That's really short.
We need to get the notice out for a meeting, on June 17th or something.
If we did nothing, in the year 2015, already we'd remove 4 days of sale.
No,
it shows you. Oh, this is your proposal.
This is the proposal. Oh. The board has not made a change to the ordinance, and that's why I'm saying if we wait till after June 28th, then we're out for 2016 with the one-year buffer.
And we have to make that notification by Wednesday?
I think that we got to get the notice out to have a hearing on June 17th. We got to get that out in the next week.
That's published on June 3rd.
Yeah, so June 3rd would be, is that next Tuesday? So yes. Next Tuesday, we have to get the notice.
We have to notice Monday for your next Tuesday.
I guess it is what it is. I was here last week. We should have come. When we talked about this, the same thing of notification in the newspaper, we need to bring it to me sooner. So, any ideas?
Yeah, I'm
Saturday.
I'm thinking for this short period of time, people feel passionately on both sides of this issue. And that's why none of us wanted to touch this. But we have an advisory vote we got to respond to at this point. I'm imagining an online voting thing that's not an official thing, but it just is one more channel for our community to weigh in and say, click here, a survey that would allow the community to give us more input, because in the, there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to come down here, take their time off work to be able to tell us which way they want this thing. So I'd like to be able to work with staff, with IT, to see whether or not that's a viable way to be able to do it, so that people can vote once and weigh in on this thing.
I'm not, you want to vote again?
No, I'm talking about an online little survey. Not a big deal, but I'd like to be able to talk with staff about the feasibility of some, doing something simple that way.
My feeling is that I'm not going to make a decision with half the information I would like to have. And if we're behind the clock, that's just what it is.
So, you're not interested in staff scheduling the hearing?
When can I cancel that hearing if I don't have an agreement?
Well, you can cancel it whenever you want with two votes. But my vision of this would be, we go ahead and notice and schedule the hearing for, call it June 17th, and between now and then I give you whatever information you need at board time. If it's what the other cities are doing, that shouldn't take them too long to gather. And then we've got the hearing scheduled if you do want to make a change.
The date again, the 26th?
I think we've got to get our changes adopted and in before the 28th, so we need to have the hearing and make potential code changes
prior. The hearing date.
June 17th is what's sticking in my mind.
Too close for us to reach an agreement.
So 2016 then?
Yeah. Give us time to work on it.
Need more input, isn't that what you're saying? Any policy that's based on a rush is a disadvantage, because we're trying to be faithful representatives of the people, and we only gave them one choice: sale time and use time restricted to a pretty significant degree compared to what we have now, without breaking that out and giving people an opportunity to voice that.
I would like to have another work session down the way, since we're obviously behind the clock. Okay, there's no way I can seem to get caught up in an organized fashion that we can have another work session on this when we have more information.
Okay.
I'll discuss it at that time.
I agree. We do need to address it, but we can't address it in haste. I would also like to have opportunity for people here who have taken the time to show up, be able to have can speak now if they have an opportunity.
Anybody here like to make comment as to where we are with this today?
Sure, pass that.
Thank you. Again, I'm Leanne Bremer. I represent Blackjack. You see them on the I-5 in the big yellow building. Well, I would support not scheduling a hearing, and I agree that you probably need more information, and primarily because, as I stated in my memo, I'm not sure you know what the will of the voters is on this. It was a two-part question in the ballot title on discharge and sales. And I suspect, it's just my feeling, that most people voted on the discharge piece and not the sales piece. And my client does not oppose limiting the discharge date, but he does not want to limit the sales date for obvious reasons, for jobs. He employs 90 people.
It's a lot to set up and stock.
It does, and these are good wages people earn. I know it's a short period of time, but cutting that in half is going to affect a lot of people. So, and then, as you saw, a lot of the cities will allow sales during an extended period of time, and I guess we'll find out if they have any proposed changes to their ordinances. But if they don't, then people can just drive to the cities and buy them, and Clark County loses out on that revenue. So I don't think it makes fiscal sense to limit the sale dates. And so that would be my pitch to you. And hopefully, if you do eventually go to hearing, that you will not limit the sales dates.
I'm going to point of clarification. The county actually has more sites than the city.
Anybody else?
Well, I'm curious also, when it comes to the discharge dates.
Yes.
What are you suggesting?
I
assume we have to restrict it.
I think my client does not oppose limiting the discharge dates, just not the sales dates. So.
I'm Pat Lydon, and I've been wrong one.
Okay.
I'm Pat Lydon, and I've been selling fireworks in Clark County since 1971, and the like you mentioned on the days of sales. If you cut it closer than 7 days, the people who come on the first day, the 28th, even though it's a short day, you do more sales on the 28th than you do on the 29th or the 30th, because you get the people that are coming to try the new stuff, and then you see which sells and what doesn't, and people want more of it. If I'm restricted to 3 days, if I'm restricted to 3 days, I have no time to get a hold of the wholesalers to find out who has it, because some wholesalers have it, and they might all have the same stuff, but it's not available. I mean, some of them didn't buy enough, so it's difficult for us to get resupplied in 1 day. And you don't want to bring in a lot of new product on the 4th. I mean, you're going to eat it. So you have to be able to get your stuff by the 1st.
So the restriction of the sale date it hurts business to any degree.
Yeah. If you restrict it to the last 3 days, how do I know how do the customers know what's good and what isn't? I've already seen it at the fireworks shows and from the wholesalers. But my customers, they don't get to go to those things. So if I tell them that, hey, this is a good item, and the guy's wife didn't like it, okay, so now I've created a problem. So we have people who come around with clipboards and charts and everything else and rank all the fireworks from a number of different stands. And we get that information every year. And we try and get more of those high-scoring items. But if you can't shoot them off on the 28th or 29th, you get no feedback. So that's the situation from the seller's standpoint. I need to know what the public wants, and I have to be able to go get it. So when you restrict sales or discharge, I mean, it's like
more complicated than what you think. More complicated than just.
Yeah, it's like going to the store and trying to buy a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. Here's a box. You don't bring it back. How many shoes would you sell?
No, it's just grab the car before you buy it.
Yeah. Sorry, Jerry Farley. I would echo and strongly agree with what Leanne has said about the vote. It's a two-part, so you don't really know whether they voted for both or only one part. So I think that's a defective vote in that sense. And while I think it's interesting, it's not very helpful to you in terms of the issue. I would also agree with what Pat has said in terms of the logistics. We need to understand this is a business, and people who are in the business have to make money, otherwise they can't be in this business. And to the extent that we restrict their opportunity to do that business, at a certain point it becomes an impossible business to be in.
or even worse, it becomes a chaotic business in which bad things can happen. Bad things where people sell things that are actually products that are not necessarily what people wanted, or even worse, a situation where there's defective products but they never know it. The fireworks industry is very concerned about the quality of its products. That's why they started the American Fireworks Standards Laboratory, and the products are, I don't want to bore you with this, it's a long story, but the products are randomly tested in China and get an AFSL sticker. Otherwise, they don't pass that, they can't get over here. But even once in a while, some products that are were presumed to be good make their way to the retail setting, and something happens. I don't mean necessarily an injury, but just something that doesn't function right. Members of the AFSL, which is 85% of all the fireworks in the United States, remove those products from sales. So by restricting sales, you might actually theoretically make it somewhat on a margin unsafer for people who are the customers. And there's one final reason also. A lot of nobody does this business in the state of Washington 365 days a year. They do it for a certain number of days. And I've always believed that restricting the days of sale is a mistake for one other reason, both in terms of the fire officials and also the volunteers or even the people who are paid at stands. They need those first two or three days to make sure that they're set up right, that the signs are right, that they've got all the right fire extinguishers, that everything's just right. And if you restrict sales to 3 days, you guarantee that you're going to have chaos on that first day, which may not be fixed until the second day, and it's possible that you might never ever get it right. And I don't think anybody wants that. I think everybody in the fireworks business, and I believe this is true also of the fire service and everybody, as well as commissioners, everybody wants the 4th of July to be safe, fun. We don't want anybody to get hurt. We don't want fires. The way we do that is we have people who know what they're doing when they're selling, and they need time, because remember, it's the old learning curve, you know, that when you start a job, it takes a while to get it right. That's why the selling days matter. The product is good. You got responsible vendors who are licensed by the state, get a permit from the county, in this instance. Your county is, fire marshals have, in my experience, been pretty smart and pretty responsible guys. They know what they're doing. And that means that you can get that maximum benefit to the public in terms of the buying public, that things are going to be done right. You're not going to have sales of stuff that are shouldn't be sold. And then we always know that there is this problem that I live in the Seattle area. If I may say this, first time that there was a restrictive ordinance passed in the Seattle area, more people went to the Indian Reservation. In 1988, the first restrictive ordinance enacted in the state of Washington occurred in 1986, and it went from product. It didn't change the days of sale to days, it just restricted the product. In 1988, 2 years later, there were 88 stands on the Tulalip Indian Reservation. I could give you the same numbers for the other reservations around the Seattle area. But let me just say, today, as more restrictions have occurred, both in terms of use and days of sale, the number of stands on the Tulalip Indian Reservation have doubled, and all the other stands have doubled. You'll never see a 200-foot-long stand except on an Indian reservation. There's more sales on the reservations within 30 minutes of downtown Seattle than all the rest of the state in non-Indian stands. So while you struggle with this issue, and I respect the fact that you have to struggle with it, it's a careful balance between allowing, educating, enforcing, and not being too restrictive, because we're still drinking alcohol. They tried that, total prohibition, and God forbid we're about to engage in the next experiment in permissive behavior with the sale of marijuana, which some people may like, some people may not like. But we're in the forefront, and one thing we know is that you're all going to have to struggle with it, and we should move carefully when we do this, because There's always unintended consequences. There's always unforeseen and unexpected. And nobody in this fireworks industry wants anybody hurt. And quite frankly, if I had my way, every single firefighter would be bored out of their mind with nothing to do for several days. And everybody would have fun. There wouldn't be any jerks who shoot stuff off that they shouldn't. They wouldn't go to the reservations and buy the products that I have lobbied to prevent being sold in the state of Washington. Bottle rockets, skyrockets, missiles. I was the lobbyist that got that bill passed. They've never been legal for sale except on the reservation. They weren't before 1982. They're still not now. I was the one that fought that battle. Of course, it was the legislators that got the privilege of voting for it. So it's a careful balance. What we have in this room, I believe, are everybody who wants to be on the right side. And I think we all need to work together to get that done so that people will feel better about their experience on the 4th of July. And the vendors can still make some money. Fire Service is bored, and you guys are heroes.
And we are struggling with allowing air and water and cutting off our appreciate everybody's attendance.
Well, I am curious about one more thing, and that is that I would be surprised if in the long term we don't end up having to restrict the discharge time. That could be an option that we could take at this point. They were not going to restrict on this short notice the sale time. We could leave the door open at sometime over the next months or year or so to be able to consider that and get more input from the community. But one thing we could do is just take and schedule a hearing that would focus only on the second part of this thing, the discharge time. Because we're being responsive to that, what we are guesstimating is the reason, the main interest of the people saying it's discharge, not the sale, that I'm mostly concerned about.
So that's going to come back.
Well, the question is, shall we issue a notice?
We can't meet the time.
Well, is that right?
We notice it next week. We can meet the time.
For a discharge.
You would have noticed before we have another meeting. You're making notice, and you don't know what you're going to put out there.
Well, what we could put out there as a proposal would be to restrict the discharge time only. Right now, 7 days?
Here, I showed it to you.
3 days?
We have a proposal already.
I'm not prepared to do that.
No?
Too short of time.
The use would be
so maybe we have to come back here and put our thought together to what are we going to do? We haven't done that. We're over our time now. Well over.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
We'll have a lot of time to work on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Strange you had to put this on the ballot. Isn't here. So I guess we're adjourned.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'll give you this one.